Okay. Okay, we're going to start from Membet Amubet, toward the bottom. Just to backtrack for 1 minute, what there was, so there was an opinion about Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yochanan, that he held like Rabbi Yossi. If you recall our Mishnah, okay, I brought our Mishnah, it's in the middle of our sheet. Okay, there's a machloka between Tanakama, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yossi, about remarrying and this issue of waiting the 3 months. So Tanakama's position is, Hayivama lo tachlot v'lot tityabem ad sheyesh la shosha chodashim. Okay, a Yivama can't, and then he goes on to say, all other women also have to wait 3 months, period. Okay, you have to wait 3 months, and he goes, Achad b'ulot, achad nesuot, etc., etc. Rabbi Yehuda says, if you're married, you're allowed to get engaged. Again, because the whole issue is we're worried about the Vlad, the baby, whose baby it is. If you're only getting engaged, so the whole issue of engagement is it's usher for you to, you're still usher to be with your husband when you're engaged. So therefore, if you were married, you're allowed to get engaged, says Rabbi Yossi. And he also says, if you were engaged, the flip side, right, you're allowed to get married, because the assumption is, unless you were these people who lived in Yehuda, who had Yichud before the wedding, which we discussed already was the strange situation, basically, you were allowed to get married, because the assumption was you hadn't been together, no chashash of a vlad. And then Rabbi Yossi says, we're going to deal a lot with him today, kol hanashim yitarsu chutz min ha'almana mipnei ha'ibul. Everyone's allowed to get engaged, okay? Whether you were married or whether you were engaged, no matter what, you can get engaged. We're going to get a little bit into what's the difference between him and Rabbi Yehuda, okay? Except he adds this issue of the almana. The almana can't get married. He doesn't give a time limit for how long, okay? He doesn't necessarily say it's 3 months. He says the almana, if her husband died, then she has to be an avelut, and she obviously can't get married right away. She can't even get engaged, according to this, okay? We're going to have a whole discussion later about what this is all about exactly, and what the difference between him and Rabbi Yehuda is. So anyway, halachas, Rabbi Yochanan says the halacha is like Rabbi Yossi, and then the Gemara says, well, that means that it must be just the Tanakhama is a da'at yachid and not the general opinion, because why would he be holding it against the Rabbim? And then the Gemara says, no, really, we can prove it's a da'at yachid, because the opinion is brought over in another source in the name of Rabbi Meir. And then, okay, about toward the middle of the page, it says, Am Rabbi Chiya bar Abba Chazar bo Rabbi Yochanan. Okay? And then they say it must be he was Choserbo from the statement of Rabbi Yishmael. There's a bright to the Rabbi Yishmael, the son of Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka, says, I heard from Karen Biavne, the kulam tzrichot lantin shloshah chodeshim. Okay, so now we're going to start from this part. Okay, Amar le Rabbi Yirmiyahu le Rabbi Zreka. Ki ayalet lekameh de Rabbi Avahu, Ramile, when you go to Rabbi Avahu, ask him this question. Mi amar Rabbi Yochanan halacha ki Rabbi Yossi? Could he really have said, now we're going back to this opinion, that Rabbi Yochanan had at some point said the halacha is like Rabbi Yossi. So even though the Gemara says that eventually he changed his mind, we're still asking on how did he actually say halacha is like Rabbi Yossi? V'ha'amar Rabbi Yochanan, we've seen this in a whole bunch of places, we've actually seen questions like this. Halacha kistam mishnah. Doesn't Rabbi Yochanan hold? Okay, there was a known thing that Rabbi Yochanan always said, if there's a stam mishnah, a mishnah without a name, we hold like the stam mishnah. Okay? Now that usually means, okay, we'll see. But Tznan, and the Mishnah says, Kol anashim lo yinasu v'lo yitarsu ad sheyesh lam shlosha chodashim. Echad betulot, echad be'ulot. Okay, that's our Mishnah. Now generally, we don't really say that our Mishnah is a case of a Stam Mishnah. Why? A Stam Mishnah is usually a Mishnah that comes without a machloket. Okay, now we're going to start to distinguish between what they mean as Stam Mishnah. But generally, when we use this principle of Stam Mishnah, we're talking about a Mishnah. We've seen lots of Mishnayot like this, where it just says one opinion without bringing an opposing opinion. So that's the assumption usually when we say Stam Mishnah. So it's a little strange that they're using it in our case, where we have an opinion, right? And then we have two other opinions. That's not usually a Stam Mishnah. That's, you know, a Tanakhama, but it's not usually a Stam Mishnah. So anyway, so that's what he's going to answer him. Amar le, derame lecha, halochash lekimche. So when he comes, remember now, who asked to? Rabbi Yirmiyah said to Rabbi Zreika to go ask Rabbi Avahu this question. So when Rabbi Zreika comes in front of Rabbi Avahu, he's asking the question of Rabbi Yirmiyah. Rabbi Yirmiyah, by the way, we've seen a bunch of times, he asks a lot of Nunniki questions. Okay, this one isn't exactly a Nunniki one, but anyway, he often gets scolded for his type of questions. And here you see he's getting scolded through Rabbi Zreika. Remember, Rabbi Zreika is asking Rabbi Yirmiyah's question. So he says to him, whoever told you to ask this question, okay, somehow he knew it wasn't him, ha lo kash lekimche. He wasn't careful about his kemach. Okay, it's explained in different ways what exactly this means, that he, Rashi says, lemashu tochenu motzi mipiv. Okay, now this, what do you do with kemach? You grind it and then you spit it out, right? So that's what you're doing. You took in somebody's words and you spit them out without really thinking about what you were saying. Okay, you said something very silly. Because stam va'achar kach machloket hi ve'ein halacha kestam. Right, what a silly question. It's exactly like I said. Generally, when we say halacha kestam mishnah, we're talking about a stam. Not a stam where there's a stam and then a machloket, where there's a tanakama and other opinions. That's not what we said. De'amar papa v'itemar v'yochanan, machloket va'achar kach stam, halacha kestam. Stam va'achar kach machloket ein halacha kestam. So if you have a machloket and then you have a stam opinion, now this is explained as being maybe even in the same masechet where you have a machloket at some point and then there's a stam mishnah, then you say halacha kestam. But if there's stam and then there's a machloket that appears after, like in our case, Tanakam is the stam, then we have two other opposing opinions, that's not a case where we say halacha kestam mishnah. So mistanach ba'aza Rabbi Avahu akatve de Rabbi Nachum. Now Rabbi Avahu went and he was leaning on the shoulders of Rabbi Nachum Shameh. He was his shamash, and he helped him walk around. He was obviously having some trouble walking. He was leaning on his shamash. Mankit va'aziel. So they were, as they were going along, he asked him, okay, Rabbi Nachum asked him, Hilchatam minei, aza hilchatam minei. He was asking halachot from him. He was kind of learning, right? That's why I always say to be mishamesh tamidei chachamim, you can learn a lot of things. So as he's walking with him, he asked him some questions. Ba minei, machloka v'achar kach stam mai. What's the story when we have a machloket and then we have a stam? What do we say? Amar le halacha kestam. So then he says, like we just said, what if we have stam v'achar kach machloket mai? Amar le ein halacha kestam. Then they say stama demanitim. What if we have a stam of a mishnah and a machloket b'braita? Okay, so we have a simple stam mishnah, as if our mishnah says this is the way we go. But then we have braitot that bring a machloket. Amar le halacha kestam. Okay, we hold by the Mishnah, because the assumption is Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, when he put together the Mishnah and he wrote it as stam without bringing any other opinions, is because he thought that's the halacha. So then he brings up another case. Machloket v'stam b'raita mai. What if there's a machloket in the Mishnah? Here's a good case. Okay, Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi wasn't machriya, but we have a b'raita. Okay, and I think the assumption here we'll see after is really that it's in the Tosefta. Okay, there's two things that were from the time of the. There's a few things. There's Midrashei Halacha also. But in terms of comparison to the Mishnah, we have the Tosefta, which was put together by Rabbi Chiya. So Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, who's also called Rabbi, we're going to see in a minute, put together the Mishnah. Rabbi Chiya put together the Tosefta. Rabbi Chiya was a Talmid of Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi. So now, what if there's a machloket in the Mishnah, and you don't know what the halach is, but there's a braita in the Tosefta, it's written stam as if just one opinion. So do you hold like the stam in the Tosefta, or not necessarily? So Amar Lei, v'chi Rebbe lo shna'a, Rabbi Chiya minayin lo. If Rebbe is the rabbi, right, and Rabbi Chiya is the Talmud, and Rebbe didn't know the answer because he brought both opinions, then where does Rabbi Chiya know that that's the halacha? Meaning we don't rely on Rabbi Chiya. Okay, the fact that the Braita, the Tosefta, brought it as a stam means that we still, it doesn't mean that we paskin like that. Amar Lei, so now he's going to ask a question. Okay, v'hatnan, don't we have a Mishnah? Masrek shel pishtan. Okay, here we're getting into this from Masechet Kelim. We're getting into Tumah Tara. The main thing you need to know is if something is considered a kli, then it can be makabel tumah. If the kli is destroyed in a way that it's not usable and it can't be a kli, then it can't be makabel tumah. So it's going to be called tahor. So it's going to be the opposite of what you think, right? In other words, a kli is good, meaning it's tahor. If the kli is bad. You follow? Okay? If the kli can't work, then it's going to never become tameh, and it'll be tahor. Like, we'll end up with a better answer. Okay? So now, we have two different types of combs. Okay? This was for combing either flax or combing wool. We're going to see the difference between them. Okay? Masrek shel pishtan. And here I charted out the differences between them so you can see. Shenitlu shinav. Okay? The teeth of the comb fell out. V'nishtayru bo shtayim. If it still has two teeth, tmeot, then that still functions. Okay? It can still be a good masrek, and you can use it to comb the flax, and therefore it's tameh. Ve'chad tehora. Okay? If it only has one left, then it's tahor. Because one, you can't comb anything with one comb. These are, by the way, known to be wooden combs with metal teeth. V'nishtayru bo shtayim tmeot. If you left... I'm sorry, I went back. V'kulan shenitlu achat achat b'fnei atzmam tmeot. But if the teeth fell out, the teeth themselves can be used like toothpicks, okay? They're basically toothpicks, right? Metal toothpicks. And they can be used for all sorts of things. So if the teeth themselves, individual teeth of the comb, are fine, they're makabel tumah. Shel tzemer, but when you have a tzemer, it's a little bit different. If one fell out in between the other two, okay, you have three teeth and one in the middle is missing, and you have two that are separated, that's no good because you can't comb wool with such a distance between them. Tahor, so therefore it's tahor. Nishtayru bo shlosha b'makom echad, tameh. How many do you need to be together? Three. Three together, that functions well. That functions as a comb, and therefore tameh. But if you have three, and one is the outer, right? You know a comb has very thick on the outside, and then usually thinner teeth on the inside. So if the outer ones is one of the three, that doesn't count, because that's not a functional tooth. Okay. What if two fell out together? And you use them like tongs. So oh, that functions well. Achat, one. If you just have one tooth, vihitkina lener ola mituach. If you decided to use it to clean out a candle, right? What's a candle? Not a candle. It was that kli that they would pour, right? If you go to these places, right? It's really like a kli, kli cheres, and you pour oil into it, and you'd stick a wick inside. If you ever go to these places where you make things, like in the time of, you know, way back when, the kids always come out making these things where they stick a wick in, and it's like wax on the bottom, and it sits in this kli cheres. So you'd have to clean that out. You would use this kind of tooth. So if you set it aside to be used for a nair, there's a little bit like muktzah, right? If you have rocks, they're muktzah, but if you set your rocks aside before Shabbos and say, I want to use these for a particular purpose, like to hold down papers, right? Then it has a use on Shabbos, and you can use it. Ola mituach, what if you want to stretch out? I think they used it, I forgot, they used it for stretching out for a rote, for leather. Okay, you want to put the leather in place to stretch it. So you would use one of these teeth to do that. Okay? So now, tme'ah, okay? So now what's the relevance here? What does it have to do with anything that we've been talking about? V'kaimalan de'en halacha ka'otah mishnah. What do we see here? It's been known that we don't paskin like this mishnah, even though it's a stam mishnah. Okay? Amar le bar minei de'ahi de'Rabbi Yochanan v'Rish Lakish. De'amar travayu zo'ena mishnah. So the question is, how do we hold, like, if this is a Stam Mishnah, and Rabbi Yochanan holds halacha like Stam Mishnah, how do we not hold like this? So the answer is that Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish both said about this Mishnah is no good. There's a mistake in this Mishnah, it's problematic, it's not a good Mishnah. So while yes, we can say halacha like Stam Mishnah generally, this Mishnah is problematic. Now we're going to have a whole discussion, and we're going to see three answers as to what's problematic about this Mishnah. And why is this Mishnah a problem? And we're going to end up with an answer that's totally different than the other two, okay? First, we're going to try to say there's some contradiction within the Mishnah itself, okay? Then we're going to answer something totally a different direction, bichlal. So each time we're going to bring an answer, we're going to then in the end say, and there seems to be a contradiction within this Mishnah, within the two different cases of the Pishtan and the Tzemer, and they're going to answer and say, no, they're talking about different situations, okay? And therefore, it's not a contradiction. So my time, why is it not a good Mishnah? Amar Rav Huna bar Manoch, Mishmei Rav Idi Berei Rav Ika, Mishum Dekasha Reisha LeSeifa. The Reisha is contradicts the Seifa, right? Reisha is always the first part of the Mishnah, or Breita, and the Seifa is the last part. Dekatane Shel Tzemer Shenitlu Shina V'chat Mi Bein Taim Tahor. Right, what did it say in the Reisha? If you take out one of the Shinaim, right, it's Tahor. Ha Nishtayru Bo Shtaim. Sorry, if one of the shinayim is missing in between. Sorry, I'm reading the wrong thing. Dekatane, I was thinking of the next case. Shel tzemer shenitlu shina v'chat mi bein taim tahor. If one of the three, right, one in between is missing, what do you see? Two separate from each other are no good. What does that seem to imply? That if two were next to each other, that would be fine. It's only one missing in the middle that makes a problem. But two next to each other would be totally fine. So that's what they say. Hayin shtayru bo shtayim b'makom echad tameh. Behadar tane, and later on in the Tzemer case, what does it say? Nishtayru bo shlosha, it's actually, right. The next line is, Nishtayru bo shlosha tameh, which means, shlosha, you need to have three. Two is no good. Shtayim lo. So then they say, my kushia, that's not a kushia, why? Dilma haba gavaita haba baraita. What does that mean? There were two rows, if you have the Schottenstein, at least in the Hebrew, there's a little picture of it. Okay? So, the way their combs worked was they had two rows, okay? The inner row and the outer row. The outer row was used for actual combing. So the outer row You had to have three next to each other because you can't comb that wool unless you have three teeth. The inner row was used more for keeping it in place. So for holding something in place, two next to each other is sufficient. Okay? And therefore, the reisha, when it talks about, right, again, the reisha is not the reisha of the whole mishnah. The reisha is the first case of the Masreik Shel Tzemer. That's, right, achad, but two next to each other would be fine. That's the inner row. And the outer row is nishtaru bo shloshav makom achad. You need actually three for it to be good. So that's not a contradiction. Okay, let's try another one now. If you have these teeth separate from each other, right? They separated from the comb. They fell out. Now you have these teeth. According to the Reisha, the teeth from the Masreik Shel Pishtan, what do we say? They're fine, right? It doesn't say anything. If you noticed, if you're matkin et elaner, right? If you set it aside for a purpose, even without setting it aside for a purpose, these teeth are good for to go for anything, right? They can be always be used, and therefore they're tmeot automatically. Va'af agav de lo hitkina, even though you didn't say, I'm going to use this tooth for some purpose. But ema seifa, echad, if there's one tooth that fell out, v'hitkina lener ola mituach tme'a, which seems to imply what? Hitkina in lo hitkina lo, that if you didn't set it aside for any purpose, it wouldn't be good. So here again, it seems to say, right? It seems to be no distinction between the teeth of that and the teeth of that. So why in one place do you have to set it aside for a particular purpose for it to be considered a kli? And the other one is ra'oi no matter what, right? It's considered a kli whether you decided I'm using it for this purpose or I'm using it for that purpose. It doesn't make a difference. So how could that be? So now they're going to answer two different answers. Abaye is going to bring one, Rapapa is going to bring another, where they say they were talking about different types of teeth, okay? So Amar Abaye, Umay Kushya, Dilma Haba Katyahu Vahaba Lo Katyahu. One had a handle and one didn't have a handle. Okay, so if it had a handle, then obviously it was ra'oi to be a kli. In other words, when the tooth falls off, it has a little piece of the wood that falls off with it. So therefore, you already have a handle to hold it with, and that makes it more into a kli. If it's just a tooth without anything, then it's not ra'oi unless you designate it to be ra'oi. Okay, that's why I said it's very much like muktzah. When we talk about muktzah, if you recall, muktzah means it's something that has no purpose. But if you decide, and rocks are the highest level of muktzah, because rocks are just useless items. Now, it's true, you can use rocks for something, right? So if you decide you're going to use these rocks for a particular purpose, well, we learned it with etzim that are for binyan, or whether it was etzim or leveni, right? Right, rocks for toilet paper, right. They used to wipe themselves with rocks. So before Shabbos, they would put rocks by the bathroom area, and they would be used for wiping themselves. They were these soft rocks, they called them. Or there were things that were ready for, you know, a construction to build. But if you set them aside as a place to sit, like a bench, then it was okay. So now, that's his answer. I'm Rapapa. Rapapa has a different answer. My kushya, bidilma haba katinta haba alimata. One is thicker and one is thinner, okay? So the bigger ones, right, the thicker ones are, I think that's how they describe them, the alimata are the very thick ones, and they don't even need a handle, okay? But the thin ones need a handle to be used, okay? So the thin ones aren't good unless you, right on the chart, actually flip it. It's the thin ones are the ones that need to be designated, and the thick ones don't need designation at all. Okay. So now we're still left with our question, what made this Mishnah not a good Mishnah, right? What's the problem with our Mishnah that's going to make us say, this Mishnah is problematic, and therefore, right, Rabbi Yochanan said this Mishnah is problematic, and that's why nobody paskins like this Mishnah. So now what's the answer? It's not really that the Mishnah is problematic. Ela mishum de misayime be dafkane zo divrei Rabbi Shimon. Ah, this Mishnah isn't a sound Mishnah. That's the answer. That the Davkane, who are the Davkane? They're the ones who were middakdek in the Nusach of the Mishnayot. And they came and said this Mishnah was brought down in an incorrect manner. Not that there's something wrong with the content of the Mishnah, but it's missing the four words at the end, which says, Zo Divrei Rabbi Shimon, which takes this Mishnah, and it's no longer a Stam Mishnah, it's a Mishnah in the name of Rabbi Shimon. And that's what we can say. We don't paskin like it because it was a particular guy's opinion and it wasn't a Stam Mishnah. Okay, remember, Stam Mishnah means it's just a Mishnah brought not only without a machloket, or it could be it has a machloket, again, we discussed maybe it has a machloket at some point previously, but it's brought by itself without a machloket and without a name. That's why it's called Stam. Okay, it is not attributed to a particular person. So if it's not attributed to a particular person, then we paskin that way. Okay, so in the end, this Mishnah, we say, is attributed to a particular person, and therefore it's not a Stam Mishnah. Okay, that was totally off the topic of our general, where we were going. It just had to do with, how did Rabbi Yochanan say that we pass it like Rabbi Yossi? Okay, now we're going to get into Rabbi Yossi. Or not yet, I think. We have one more section before we get to Rabbi Yossi. Shalach Rabbi Chiya bar Avin ma'arsin toch shlosha, v'chein osim maaseh. Okay, Rabbi Chiya bar Avin says, we're allowed to get people engaged within 3 months. They're allowed to. V'chein osim maaseh. We actually do this, not just, right, but we can actually do this, not just that we hold this way, but we can do this. People do this. V'chein haya Rabbi Elazar melamdeinu mushum Rabbi Chanina hagadol. Rubo shall we show. Now we're going to say, how do we count the 3 months? Okay? Now we're going to see, it's not necessarily, although it might be, 90 days exactly, okay? Or, right, 3 months is even a drop less than 90 days. Rubo shall we show. V'rubo shall shlishi v'emtza'i shalem. You just need the majority of 3 months, okay? The majority of the first month, the majority of the last month, and a whole full month in the middle. It's a little strange.
It's a weird way to write it.
It is a weird way to write it, and a weird way to count it. What does it mean? Rubo, like it could be,
especially because of
it could be
talking, you know,
16 days, right? To determine pregnancy is complicated.
Well, but it
right.
means that if somebody got on the 16th of the month, you might think you have to count from 16 to 16 to 16 to 16.
Right, and it doesn't. It
and
means
it doesn't. What it's telling you is you count from 16 to the end.
Right. Although 16 probably wouldn't be Rov. So let's say
okay,
if it was 13,
okay,
right?
Right?
If they died on the 13th of the month, you count to the end. It's a calendar month,
right,
according to the way.
How
he's
would you know what Rov is? What?
So Rov is how many days of the month have passed. Have you passed halfway in the month yet or not? That's what
it's
it sounds
date,
like they're saying.
Right,
it seems to go by the date, which is interesting. It goes a little like when you count your ona, right? It goes by the date of the Hebrew month that it fell on. You know, there's something to be said for the date, for the months. It's a little strange opinion. Anyway, we don't really hold this way, but that's what he says. Amei mar shari le'ares b'yom tish'im. Okay, now he says, you need 3 full months, but already on the 90th day, which the assumption is that's the last day of the 3 months, you can get engaged. Amrale Rav Ashi la'amemar, v'ha Rav Shmuel d'amr travayu, tzricha lamtin shlosha chodashim, chutz miyom shemepo, v'chutz miyom shenit arsabo. So how do you say that you can get married on the 90th day? Rav and Shmuel both said, you don't count the day of death, and you don't count the day of engagement, meaning you need 3 full months, not including the 2 days on the extremes, right? The 2 half days or partial days. So how do you say this? So what does he say? Hahu, here's a good issue of Masoret and things being passed down. Hahu le'iyam me'neket itmar. You got confused about Rav and Shmuel. When Rav and Shmuel say we don't count the day of death and we don't count the day of engagement, they were talking about the other case that we've discussed. This woman who's pregnant or nursing a baby isn't allowed to get married until the 24 months have passed since she has the baby, 2 full years after the baby's born. She's not allowed to marry. We talked about this, right? There was a whole thing in yesterday's stuff, which went much more elaborate about it, what exactly all the issues are, and some strange concepts about the woman could actually get impregnated twice, which has got a baby inside. She could also get pregnant, and it could destroy the baby. All sorts of interesting thoughts that they had.
Yeah.
Although, how did they come up with it? I don't know.
Like at least when we did the Rosh Hashanah, there were astronomical.
I actually saw some. I saw some story in the paper once about a woman who actually had a baby like 21 days after her baby came out, like some really weird case. I don't know. It's very strange. You know, maybe in very rare circumstances, very bizarre things happen. But I think that they thought that there was possibly some danger. Remember, they didn't know a ton about how things work. So, you know, a lot of babies died in childbirth. So it could be that they just didn't know, like when the babies died, how big they were and when. Yeah, I think there was like a fear of death in childbirth. And somehow they thought that either having sex had something to do with it or getting pregnant had something to do with it, that there were these.
You
know,
pregnant,
and that's what the Gemara seemed to be implying yesterday. Yeah, yeah. So, okay, but really, right, in the end, they conclude that the issue is just that we're worried that he's not going to pay the money to give for her food, right? In other words, number one, her milk's going to dry up, and they won't be, she won't, it's actually also interesting, because in the end, they say that she's going to be embarrassed to go to the court and say to the court, I need to demand money from him for this baby, from the original husband's estate. And because of the, you know, the timidness of the women, it was going to create the situation where the babies are going to be in danger, and that's why we try to avoid this situation.
Those rare moments where they actually considered the woman as a person.
Although they kind of knock her down and say she's not willing to stand up for herself, right? She's not going to be willing to go to court and say, "I need my money," which is interesting.
Well, because she would be considered pre
Anyway, so what do they say? With his Rav and Shmuel's statement, which is actually strange to say this, because if you've read already a full 2 years, what's the difference of the day here and the day there? It actually seems much more relevant in our case. But they say when Rav and Shmuel said that, they were talking about a different situation, not this situation at all. When they said, don't count the day of death, don't count the day of the engagement, that's all about the other case of the Meineket and the Meuberet, not our case. So now they say, Da'amrei Travayu, how do we know that? Tzricha lamtin kaf dalet chodesh. Here we have it explicitly. They have to wait 24 months. Chutz miyom shenolabo, v'chutz miyom shenit arsabo. They don't count, sorry, not the day of death. They don't count the day of the birth, and they don't count the day that they get engaged. So they need a full 24 months. V'hatanya de'avit sudat erusin. So then they say, if that's the case, that means then you can get married on the 90th day. So why do we have this case where avad sudat erusin biyom tishim? They made a suda on the 90th day, but afsedei rava l'sudate. Right? Can you imagine this? Rava comes and says, "We're canceling the wedding. You can't do it." Okay, he comes and he ruins the whole wedding party. Okay, he said again, not the wedding, the engagement. So now what do they say? Don't worry about that case because hahu ahi sudat nisuin havai. Okay, it's not just me who just confused the words, Nisuin and Erusin, and we're going to see this for the rest of today. There was a lot of confusion about these words, Erusin, Nisuin. Okay, people confuse them all the time. When they say that story that you passed down about Rava didn't have to do with an engagement. The engagement could happen on the 90th day, but to get married, you can't. V'hilchata, now the Gemara says, again, we have this V'hilchata, unclear who added this to the Gemara and when. Tzricha lamtin kafta lechodesh, chutz miyom shenolabo, v'chutz miyom shenit arsabo, just like they said Rav and Shmuel held, right, about the Meuberet and Meineket case. And tzricha lamtin shlosha chodeshim, chutz miyom shemepo, v'chutz miyom shenit arsabo. They apply Rav and Shmuel, even though the Gemara didn't seem to. The Hilchata and the Gemara says we apply Rav and Shmuel also to the 90 days. So in the end, even though they answered up their questions about it, they still said that in the end, we hold that you have to wait the full 3 months and only after can you do it. Okay, now we're going to get to Rabbi Yossi and we're going to have a whole slew of questions on this, which is going to take us to the end of today's daf. So remember what Rabbi Yossi says. Rabbi Yossi says, "Kol anashim yit arsu." It's in the middle of your page. Chutz min ha'almana mipnei ha'ibul, except for the almana, okay, because she's in mourning. Amar Rav Chisda kal v'chomer. How could you say that all these women can get engaged? It should be a kal v'chomer. Uma bim. I'm sorry. How do you? One second. Kal v'chomer. Uma b'makom she. Let's go through the kal v'chomer. Uma b'makom she asur l'chabes mutar le'ares. Okay, in a place that, right, we're talking about the avelut part. This is what the question's on. The almana can't get married because of her avelut. Okay, so now we're going to compare this to another case of avelut. What's the case of avelut? Tisha B'Av, and we're going to see sugyot that we saw and we learned ta'anit. About Tisha B'Av and the avelut. In the 9 days, okay, or Shavua Shechalbo, really, we're talking about, okay? If you recall there, we really talked about that there's Shavua Shechalbo. There's some people say Rosh Chodesh Av starts the Avelut, and there's some people who say the whole month of Av. Okay, we actually didn't see anything that talked about the 3 weeks. Today, we're going to see a hint to the 3 weeks, okay? So get prepared. Kavachomer, Uma b'makom she'asur l'chabes, right? It's asur to wash your clothes on Shavua Shechalbo, right? We don't do laundry. Mutar le'ares, but you can get engaged. You're allowed to get engaged on the 9 days. What do they say there? Because you're worried that someone else might come along and get engaged. It's like Davar Ha'aved almost, on, right? Someone else might come along and get engaged here and you'll lose your chance. So you're allowed to get engaged. Makom shemut, right? You can't get married, obviously, but you can get engaged. Makom shemutar le'chabes, and now when you're in Avela for your husband, after your husband dies, you're allowed to do laundry, okay? You can do laundry in the shloshim. We're assuming we're talking about shloshim here. Ain't no din shemutar le'ares. So if you're allowed to do laundry, right? In a case where you're not allowed to do laundry, you're allowed to get engaged. So in a case where you can do laundry, you should be allowed to get engaged because there should be less dinei avelut. So this whole premise, by the way, doesn't address the fact, which we're going to see only later when they answer it up, that what? Here we're talking about, right, there it's avelut of Tisha B'Av, you know, you can get engaged. But here we're talking about a woman who just lost her husband and she wants to get remarried. Now, this, at the beginning, at least, the sugya is not looking at that. They're looking at it very technically, halachically. In the end, they're going to distinguish and use that as a distinction. But in the beginning, they're kind of ignoring, right, which is sort of typical of the Gemara sometimes, where they're looking very methodically at the situations, not really looking at what's really going on here. So they're looking at very cut and dry. So there, you can't do laundry and you're allowed to get engaged. Here, you can do laundry, so you should be allowed to get engaged. So now they say, Mahi, what's this case where Asur Lechabes? I already kind of told you, but now the Gemara is going to say, Ditnan, the Mishnah Ta'anit says, Shabbat Shechal Tishaba Abitochad, that means Shavuot Shechal Bo, Asur Lesaper Lechabes, you can't cut your hair and do laundry, Ubachamishi Mutar Mipnei Kvod HaShabbat, but we allow you to do it on Thursday for Shabbos, Bitanya, and it says in the Braita, Kodem Hazman Hazeh, Ha'ami Ma'atim Iskehem, Milisam, Militem, Milivnotu Luntoa, Uma Arsin, but they can get engaged. Of a low consin, but they can't get married. Ve'ein osin sudat erusin. Okay? They can't do a sudat erusin, but you can get engaged. Okay? There's a difference between getting engaged and an engagement party. Okay. So now the Gemara says, how do we answer this kavachomer? Kitan yahahi kodem de kodem. Okay? What does that mean? That's before this time. Okay? It says kodem hazman hazeh. Right? They're saying that the time when you're allowed to get engaged is... I would right. They call it in our terminology the 3 weeks, maybe right. In other words, the time period that precedes the Shavuot Shechal Bo, which either could be from Rosh Chodesh or it could be even before that, possibly. So here, maybe there's a remnant to the fact that there's 3 weeks, and therefore, what do they say? But in the actual time of the 9 days or Shavuot Shechal Bo, when it's Asur Lechabes, so in that time period, you're not allowed to. Okay, because remember, what do we do? Kodem Hazman Hazeh. What does it say? You're allowed, right? It doesn't say anything about laundry. It sounds like you can do laundry in that time period. So in the time period where you can do laundry, then you can get engaged. So therefore, it doesn't make a kavachomer against our case. However, Rava says that doesn't help us, because I'm a Rava, we could still have a kavachomer. Because kodem, the kodem nami kavachomer. Because what does it say in kodem, kodem azman hazeh? It says, mima'atim iskehem, milisao militeim, milivnot milintoa. So what does he say? Umam makom sha'asur lisao militeim, mutar le'ares. As makom shem mutar lisav litein, meaning when you're in avilu for your husband shloshim, you're allowed to lisav litein. So again, here you can't do business dealings in Tisha B'Av, but you can get engaged. So by us, if you can do business dealings, you should be allowed to get engaged. Einu din shem mutar le'ares. So then they say, basically, you're right. We have a kav chomer, so we must be misunderstanding Rabbi Yossi. And now we're going to again flip the erusin and nisuin. Okay. Lo tema de Rabbi Yossi Omer kol hanashim yit arsu. Don't say that he said kol hanashim yit arsu. Ela ema kol hanashim yinasu. All the women can get married except for the amana, meaning the amana can't get married within 30 days mipnei ha'ibu. But everyone else is allowed to get married. If he says that, what does that mean? The Leila, the Rabbi Yossi Lavchin, what do you mean? He doesn't hold that you have to wait. Everyone else can get married according to him. He basically rejects this entire 3 month. I remember I said we're going to get to exactly what's his argument with everybody else. According to this, he basically rejects the whole 3 months. You don't need to worry about worrying whose Vlad it is. Nope, we don't care. He doesn't hold Lavchin. Is that possible? So Gemara says, yeah, late. Why don't we say that? Okay, so one explanation of Rabbi Yossi is this. Because of this kavachomer, how could you not get engaged? It must be that engagement is allowed. So therefore, when he says it, he must mean they can't get married, meaning only the almanach can't get married, but everyone else is allowed to get married. Okay? And they change Rabbi Yossi, and they say, according to him, there's no issue of 3 months. That's one way of reading it. Obviously, it's a difficult reading, because what does he do with all these problems we've talked about? You don't know who the Vlad is, you end up with mamzerim, you end up with all sorts of problems. Okay, so another explanation is to say he does hold the problem. This is how you should read Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi Omer, kol arusot grushot yinasu. Okay, basically what he means here is anyone who's engaged is allowed to get married immediately. Okay, if your husband died or your husband divorced you from, that's why he says grushot, right? Because it can't be your husband died. If your husband died, you're in almana. Okay, the almana has to wait. But if you were engaged and your husband died, so you have ibul, you have to wait. If you were engaged from a marriage and you got divorced, then you'd be allowed to get married right away. Because remember, engagement doesn't mean that you can be together, so there's no concern of a vlad. Okay? And that's what his opinion is. So they say, wait a minute. Ihachi hainu Rabbi Yehuda. That's exactly what Rabbi Yehuda said, remember? Hanisua ditarsu and arusot yinasu. Okay, so what's the difference between him and Rabbi Yehuda? I find this a little bit strange because there is a difference between him and Rabbi Yehuda because Rabbi Yehuda makes the distinction of the Arusot and Yehuda, And Rabbi Yossi makes the distinction of the almana. But they seem to say he's basically holding the basic shita, and that's a problem. So they say, Ika benayu nisua le'ares. Rabbi Yehuda savar nisua muteret le'ares. Rabbi Yossi savar nisua asura le'ares. What happened here? Rabbi Yossi just talked about that the nisuot can get, that the arusot can get married, but he didn't say the nisuot can get engaged. You follow? He only said one direction. So they're saying that's what he argues in the other direction. While he thinks that the arusot can get married, he doesn't think that the married people can get engaged. Okay? So Rabbi Yossi savar nisua asura le'ares. So now they say, what are we going to say? Could Rabbi Yossi really hold that the married people can't get engaged? We're going to bring another source that seems to contradict that assumption. So, v'sava Rabbi Yossi nisua asura le'ares, v'ha tanya, Rabbi Yossi omer, kol anashim yitarzu, chutz min ha'amana mipnei ha'ibul, become, okay, here's basically a braita that's just like our Gemara, okay, like our Mishnah, but it's going to have some extra words here. Bekama ibul shalash, loshim yom. Okay, here we have exactly, he says, it's only 30 days, it's not 3 months. Vikulan, here's the important line, lo yinasu ad shihulahem shlosha chodeshim. Okay, what do you see here? That you can't get married, right, until you have 3 months. So now we're going to see. Hi, my kushya. Where do you get a problem from? Like, where does this raise an issue to the problem of, remember, we want to prove that nisua. We tried to say that what he means, how is he distinguished from Rabbi Yehuda? Because he says, Nisua asura le'ares. She can't get engaged. Okay, now we're going to see something in this braita that seems to contradict that assumption. What is it? So, Ilema dekatani Rabbi Yossi omer kol anashim yitarsu, the beginning, the first line, Mi'alema mimatnitim, de'ukmina ba'arusok rusho yinasu. Don't be bothered by the first line, kol anashim yitarsu, because we already explained that sentence in our Mishnah means something else. We'll explain here it also means something else. We'll say that it means that arusot rusho yinasu. Hachanami kol arusot rusho yinasu. Ela mi seifa, but the seifa dekatane, bekulan lo yinasu ad shihulam shlosha chodeshim. What does that mean? No one can get married until they have shlosha chodeshim. In subehu delo, it says they can't get married, which seems to imply what? They can't get married, but ha itrus de shapir dame. It sounds like they can get engaged. So in the end, you see that Rabbi Yossi does hold that the nisua can get engaged. Okay? Because it says explicitly here, they can't get married, but that seems to imply they could get engaged. So therefore, from this braita, we say, what you thought Rabbi Yossi said can't be. So we're stuck still with, what's his distinction from Rabbi Yehuda? Okay? So now they say, Amarava, Taritz ve'emahachi. This is how you should explain it. Rabbi Yossi omer, kol arusok rusho yinasu, chutz mina almana, mipnei ha'ibul, v'kama ibul shalash loshim yom. Okay, so again, all the arusot, if you're arusa, you're allowed to get married because no concern, you were pregnant. Except for the almana, who has to do it because of avelut. And how long? 30 days. Unisuot lo yitarsu. Again, we're going to switch. It's not lo yinasu. It's nisuot lo yitarsu. Okay? They're saying all the married women can't get engaged. Ad shehelem shlosha chodeshim. Okay? So in other words, the only issur is for nisuot can't get engaged. Arusot can get married. However, the only case we're going to make an exception is for the almana. She's an arusa who's not allowed to get married. Okay? On this, we're going to have a problem. What's going to be our problem? Amanamina erusim mi leibul. Do you really have a problem of avelut for an almana from the erusim? Vahatane, Rabbi Chiya bar Ami. Now, if you remember this, we learned this. Ishto arusa. Right? What's the assumption here now? The almana we're talking about? An arusa. An almana who's engaged can't get married because of avelut. But now we're going to see that there's no issue of avilut by an arusa. Okay, we learned this already. Isha arusa lo onen. She doesn't, if his wife was engaged and he dies, and she dies, he's not an onen for her, okay, which means you can't do mitzvot because you're busy dealing with the burial. Velo mitame la, he's a kohen, he's not mitame to her. Vechein hi lo onenet velo mitama lo. Okay, she's not an onen for him. And lo mitamalo. And right, this we had different opinions. What does it mean lo mitamalo? She's a bat kohen. There's no issue of tuma. The assumption is that we're talking about she doesn't have to deal with his burial. She's not responsible for that. Meta, if she dies, eno yorsha. Metu, govak tubata. If for some reason he did a ketubah from the Erusin, then the ketubah is takef and she can get her ketubah money. Anyway, the basic thing you see from here is avelut by an amana, arusa is not relevant. There is no such thing. Okay? So therefore you can't say that that's what Rabbi Yossi is talking about. Okay? So now, where are we stuck? Rabbi Yossi said, kol arusot, right? Right, kol hanashim kol hanashim yit arsu. Right? And we wanted to know, we have this kavachomer, right? How could that be? The kavachomer seems to imply that by Tisha B'Av you can get engaged and it's more chamor, so how could here you not get engaged? Okay, so we're back to saying it's not talking about marriage, it's talking about erusin. Okay, the whole attempt here was to say it's talking about nisuin. If it's talking about nisuin, it must be talking about nerusa. If it's talking about nerusa, well, that's a problem because it can't be an almana, can't be, right? An almana has no avilut. So now they're going to say, so how can we break this kavachomer? We can say, where we saw the namana, that in Tisha B'Av you can get engaged, that's based on the machloket tanaim. Ela tanaihi, detanya me rosh chodesh v'adatani, ta'ami ma'atime iskehemi lisaumi litemi livnoto lintoa, umile'ares umilinase. What do you see here? They don't get engaged. Here you see. Okay, they can't get engaged. So here you see, there's a source. Rabbi Yossi will say, I hold by this. So there's no kavachomer, because there also you can't get engaged. And Shabbat Shachal Tisha B'Av B'tocha, right? That's from Rosh Chodesh. The Shavuah Shachal Bo Asur L'Saperu L'Chabes, right? The Adam Mori Suim. V'yesh Omrim Kol Chodesh Asur. Fine. The main point was so. So now, we'll try to just finish up quickly. Matkif La Rav Ashi Mimayd Le'ares Le'ares Mamash. Maybe this Erusin, when it says it's Asur Le'ares, it's not really talking about this Breita that seems to contradict, right? We saw one Breita by Tisha B'Av that you're Mutar Le'ares. This Breita says Asur Le'ares. Maybe they're not talking about le'ares. Erusin you could do. Dilma le'me'avet sudat erusin huda asur. But ha'le'ares shapir dami. Maybe there really is no machloket tana'im. When it says you can't get engaged, it meant you can't make an engagement party. But it didn't say you can't get engaged. Engagement obviously is mucho. So ihachi milisau linasei na'mi le'me'avet sudat nisuin huda asur. Ha'lisa shapir dami. But then, what would you say? That the nisuin seems to imply then, right? If it's asur le'ares ulinisa and get married, and if you want to say the erusin means just don't do a su'udah, but you can get engaged, it sounds like you can get married without doing the wedding party, right? If there is such a thing, right? Some people actually do such a thing, right? It's rare, but you could, okay? So they say, no, hachi ashti, you can't compare those things. Nisuin below su'udah ika simcha, okay? There's simcha even without a su'udah nisuin. Whereas erusin below su'udah mi'ika simcha, there's no simcha in erusin. Erusin doesn't have a din of simcha, okay? And therefore, it doesn't contradict the avilut. Okay, so finally we're going to get to our answer, which I kind of alluded to in the beginning. Amar Rav Ashi, you can't compare the Avelut of Tisha B'Av to the Avelut, right? You can't do this base Kavachomer that is just very technical and tedious. Shane Avelut Chadashame Avelut Yishana. The Shane Avelut Rabim Avelut Yachid. He makes two distinctions. Number one, the Avelut of Tisha B'Av were mit'abel on something that happened so long ago, it's not fresh, right? But the Avelut Chadasha is a very fresh, raw Avelut. And if your husband just died, that's an avelut that we're going to say, don't get engaged. Okay? Or, also, the avelut of Rabim is different than the avelut of a yachid. If you are having your own individual suffering and trauma, that's much more severe than an avelut that affects the Rabim. Right? You might say, maybe it shouldn't be. We should also be affected by the Rabim. But yes, you can all see the distinction. When you have your own personal avelut, it's much stronger than the avelut of the Rabim of Tisha B'Av, and therefore this is an unfair comparison. And that's why Rabbi Yossi says here that you could say that it's from the Erusin, right? That it's Almanah can't get engaged. Even though on Tisha B'Av you're allowed to get engaged in Shavuot Shachal Bo, that's a whole different thing. Okay, so in the end they explain him saying that we're talking about from engagement. And that's what he meant. Okay? So, a little bit long-winded. Tomorrow we're going to get back. We're going to start with the Mishnah that we actually learned already, so hopefully it'll be more familiar to you. And we'll move on from there. Question.